There. Welcome to today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We are continuing our journey that we began yesterday on the Ten Commandments. We're looking at the first commandment, dealing with idols. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, along with the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy, we're looking at 1 Kings chapter 18 as well, casting down the idols. How does this apply to you and I today as we explore the Ten Commandments? Glad you asked. If you'll stick around, Pastor Chris will explore all of that and have some answers for you here today on Abounding Grace. Won't you join us? Again, as we continue our look at the Ten Commandments, here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace out of 1 Kings chapter 18.
Israel had watched God systematically knock over every single idol in Egypt. And then the first thing he does when they get to the mountain and he brings them out and he delivers them, the very first word of commandment is, there are to be no other gods before me. It's very important. We're getting some indication of what the problem of idolatry is from the command itself, right? In the cases of Israel's history of idolatry, it wasn't that they went on denying that the Lord existed. This is the great, it was full syncretism at its best. They didn't deny the Lord existed. Did you hear it captured in the essence of the commandment itself? There's no other God alongside of me. See that really helps, doesn't it? There's no other God alongside of me that you are to put your trust in. Placing alongside my glory and my majesty and my honor. They were taking another God and putting it before the face of God. And it got so perverse, remember in the golden calf event, that they held up that little Isis bowl. And they actually tried to replace God with that bull, saying, this is Yahweh who brought you out of Egypt. I mean, unbelievable, isn't it? Well, there's one scene tonight, just briefly to run through, that puts on display the power of idolatry in people's lives. And then we'll apply it. As we've presented it here, and I read with wicked King Ahab. Ahab was a terrible king in Israel, and it links together, you know, the wicked reign of Ahab, saying that it had been awful enough that Israel walked in the sins of Jeroboam, who was the biggest idolater in Israel. But Ahab took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. So here's one of Israel's own leaders, one of their kings, who went to do this. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria, and Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Samaria was a grand temple devoted to Baal. Baal was the storm god, remember? Baal was the god of fertility. Baal was the god of lightning and rain and thunder. You know, we have these action figures we call the god of thunder. Some people worship these little things, trust me. Some of you young ones are laughing right now because you know who I'm talking about. Thor, am I? See, this is exactly what happened in Israel. So what does God do? He stops the rain. It's exactly what happened in Israel. Baal was supposed to be the great provider of fertility to give rain for the land, and the Lord shuts the whole thing down. By the way, that doesn't stop today. Whatever people are putting their trust in the world, he is systematically overturning. I would suggest, if you read Revelation 17, that's a lot of what we're facing right now. But people don't look at it that way. Well, what does God do? Hits the idol again in Israel's history. He attacks. He takes it down systematically. And the question then is who was angry, Baal or God? The people think Baal must be angry. So we've got to appease Baal. And Elijah's had enough. The great showdown happens on Mount Carmel, and he gathers together and calls the 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah, and asks the question as Elijah comes near, how long are you guys going to keep limping between two different opinions? So he's gathered together all of Israel and Ahab at Mount Carmel. Ahab has. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, go ahead. Follow him. But you can't choose God. You can't choose two. You see, this is an important point for our day too. There's only one true God. In a culture that says there's all these answers, it's just not true. You can't limp between two opinions. You've got to declare yourself at some point. Who is your God? Reason tells you there's only one. But more importantly, Scripture tells you there's only one true God. So here we are in this great moment. The word here means a totter or limp. They are going back and forth between these opinions. Well, you could just see them. Well, who do you think the true God is, God or Baal? Unbelievable, isn't it? The power of idolatry. How in the world could Israel, who had been delivered from Egypt and seen this kind of deliverance, ever get to a place like this? And I think that's an important question. You remember this morning when I said there's two sins the Lord tells you to flee in the Bible? One is sexual immorality, and the other is idolatry, which tells you it has a huge power and control over people. Look at the power of idolatry. Oh, Baal, hear us. From morning until noon, they dance around this altar. But there was no voice. They leaped about the altar which they had made. They leaped about it. 450 prophets, 400 of Asherah. I mean, this is quite a gathering. 6 hours from morning until the time of the evening sacrifice. Really, it captures it, doesn't it? Kind of understand Psalm 115. Our God is in the heavens. He does all he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk. And they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them, this is a powerful verse, become like them. How so? Dead. You die with your idol. It has a deadening effect on all spirituality, you see. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. We'll get there. He is their help and their shield. So after all this nonsense, Elijah walks up. And there's one phrase here that hurts, that Elijah, you can picture this sad scene. Elijah has to go up and rebuild the altar of the Lord. Nobody had been calling out to him, which I'm going to get to an early application. When idolatry, and we have something that's gripping us that's an idol, there will be little prayer. There will be little prayer. Prayer is your greatest defense against idolatry because it's an expression of trust, isn't it? So here we are. God had done so much for them. He had delivered them from bondage. He had made a promise. He had helped them. And they're torn now between two opinions. Elijah says, come here. And praise. O Lord God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you're God in Israel. That might be a prayer we need to pray a lot again. Let it be known again that the Lord is God who made the heavens and the earth. And that I am your servant. And that I've done these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me that this people may know you. What did Heidelberg say tonight? The first thing that has to be recovered, if there ever is to be any kind of knowledge of the true God and worship, is a knowledge of Him. You have to know Him. Pray that they may know You, O Lord, that they may know that You're God, and that You have turned their hearts back. As soon as he says this, you imagine the scene? After all these hours of dancing and cutting themselves, I mean, they really became like this idol, dead. They were dying, cutting themselves. Fire drops out of heaven and consumes the sacrifice, burning up everything. You can imagine the instant revival, if we can say that. And they all began to say, "The Lord is God. The Lord is God." Now that's the story. These are the command. This is the command. No other gods before me. Understand the essence of idolatry? It's a powerful, sin is deceitful. It's a powerful domineering force over somebody's life that they've engaged and entered into. The essence of idolatry is to divide your loyalties. To divide your loyalties. So that you have multiple loyalties. That's in the heart of the commandment itself. No other God beside me. And when we start to ask the question of what is idolatry and what does that look like, it's a very simple answer. That any ongoing sin in your life that you are running to is an idol. That's an idol. I'm not talking so much about sins of omission. You know, there's certain things we should do and we don't do. I'm talking about that category of sin that we run to knowingly and willingly, and we keep finding relief in it when we do it. There's your idol. And that's what we have to ask. What am I running to that I know that I shouldn't be? That's the idol. What am I bowing down to when I know I shouldn't be? That's the idol. And that's why Elijah was saying, listen, this is, in when he was calling Israel, you can't falter between two opinions. Sometimes I think we chalk off these things and say, well, it's not like the idols of the Old Testament. And that's exactly not what the New Testament is saying. They're saying, no, draw the lines. Our Heidelberg's so good on the first commandment, isn't it? That we should shun all idolatry. Now listen to this. And sincerely acknowledge the only true God and trust in Him alone. Look to Him for every good thing in this life, humbly and patiently. Love Him. Fear Him. Honor Him with all my heart. That's the goal of the commandment. That's the call of the commandment. And when it speaks of idolatry as having something that one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God who's revealed Himself in His Word, it's simply saying there is to be nothing else that we are trusting in. Nothing. No other. Now that is the most freeing message for us. Because every other thing we've run to has failed us. Every other thing we've put our trust in has failed us in some way. We don't have to be dancing around a Baal. One pastor said, idolatry is the most discussed problem in the Bible and one of the most powerful spiritual and intellectual concepts in the believer's arsenal. Yet for Christians today, it's one of the least meaningful notions and is surrounded with ironies. Perhaps this is why many evangelicals are ignorant of the idols in their lives. Contemporary evangelicals are little better at recognizing and resisting idols than modern secular people are. There really can be no believing communities without an unswerving eye to the detection and the destruction of idols. You know, what are the last words of John in 1 John? Little children, right? Flee idolatry. Stay away from idols. Run away from idols. It's the last words of that little epistle. Keep yourself from idols. There's not a better time, I think, at the moment than to speak of idolatry. I was reading with regard to COVID, and I'm not a doctor, and I don't have any wisdom on this. I just, there's so many things that we all know are confusing about this thing. But among many of the doctors who are writing, they are saying this. One of the things that's actually killing people the most right now is fear. Fear. Look at the fear governing people today. This last year and a half should have been a lesson for us in the exposure of idolatry. Everyone's trying to save themselves. Everyone's trying to find an answer. Everyone's running everywhere, and the government is heralded as the one who's supposed to solve this, everything. You see, it's alive. And if you want to get even more, idolatry shows up everywhere. I always think when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he exposed the first commandment. Go call your husband to me. I have no husband. Oh, you're right. You have no husband. The one you have now is not your husband, right? Somebody else's. And you've had five of them. See, what that exposed was, she was jumping from man to man to man to man to try to find love and couldn't find it. And the Lord was there. Love me. I'm here to care for you. We have this spirit in our society right now of Babel. Come, let's reach a tower that reaches, make a tower that reaches to the heavens and build a name for ourselves. We have made the idolization of man. And God recognizes in that pursuit there is a drive for independence from him. To conquer anything that stands in our way. I'll hike Mount Everest, and I'm going to do it to say I did it. Beyond all curiosity is a power that you are seeking to be filled with. An answer. Something to fulfill you. And that's why we jump to idol, to idol, to idol. Well, we don't deny God. But we give him half devotion. Now that's what the scriptures define as idolatry. You can say to gold, Job 31, you are my confidence. And that's why Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. Why Colossians says, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. The summary is where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, that's the command itself. And what I love about reminding us about where this command is put in the catechism is it's in the third section, isn't it? Having been set free from all your sin and misery. Having been forgiven of all your sin and misery. That bondage has been shattered. You understand that principle of Romans 6? The bondage to sin has been shattered. The present still remains. The bondage is shattered. And what the new life is, what the life of the Christian is now to enjoy having been set free and the truth having made you free, to enjoy the positive dimension of this. And what is the positive dimension of this commandment? It is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Enjoy him. It's not a burden. This is a good God to you. And you know what he did for you? He gave you his son. You see, when we look at Jesus, and we look at Jesus coming to this earth, and we look at him doing everything that was necessary to deliver us from all sin, and that he would actually go in the wilderness and be presented with every idol under the sun by Satan himself and live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, which is what our Heidelberg says. What we see is our champion who set us free. We see our good God who delivered us. You know? And he is calling us to love him in response. I have a good mentor friend who died a few years ago, John Rainbow. And he wrote a great book on the resurrection. It's just a phenomenal book. But I'm just summarizing it. But I remember reading it, putting it down almost in tears because of what he suffered in having brain cancer and dying. But the thing he said at the end of the book was, if Jesus would love me in this kind of way, to come down here and to set me free and to live a perfect life for me and to actually fight off and beat idolatry in the wilderness for me as the true Israel. If he would go to that length and do that for me and fulfill all righteousness and give himself and love me that kind of way, well, what an entirely reasonable calling upon my life to run away from idols. What a right thing to do. What a thankful thing to do. So think about that with regard to idolatry. Christ gave himself for us as he did. And God has us declared completely righteous in him. It's a privilege to stop dancing around the altar of Baal. Baal will never help you. Baal will never answer you. Whatever you're running to in sin will never satisfy you. That's why you keep running to it. But once you drink living water, you don't go back to that other fountain. Hopefully that helps us tonight to understand what idolatry is and why we should flee it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we confess we have bowed to too many idols. And we have given our devotion and trust to other things. And we ask for your forgiveness for this. Thank you for loving us through the love of your Son, who would come down and fight this way for us to set us free so that we might now love you and enjoy you in life. That's what we need. We need a heart that enjoys you. So take these stupid idols that don't speak and don't deliver us and don't help us that we run to and make them so unattractive to us. Let us see their folly. And give us the strength by your Spirit to love you, beginning to taste now what it is to love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, knowing in the resurrection that we will put off all sin and love you in perfection. Thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. In Jesus, in his name we pray. Amen.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out, but look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.